seated, and the altar is open for those who would like to pray. If you just would like to pray and have some quiet time with God, this side of the altar is open. If you would like somebody to anoint you, come over to my left, your right, and I know that the Heavenly Father will meet you. So let's seek Him this morning. Father, the song that we just sang is so true. It is a great promise that Your grace is more than enough, more than ample to meet all of our needs in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, this morning we come to You this morning to worship You in spirit and in truth, and to thank You, God, for the blessings of this life that You have bestowed upon each one of us. We thank You, God, that You loved us so much that You sent Your one and only Son to take our place, to take the punishment that we deserve. We thank You, Father, for the gift of the church, and pray, Father, that we collectively, as we seek You this morning, God, that Your Holy Spirit would come and minister to each one of us in our individual needs, and also, Lord, individually as a church family, God, we pray that You would continue to be with us. We want to give You praise this morning because we've seen some answers to prayer this past week. We thank You that Derek's surgery went well, and we pray that You would continue the healing process in his life. We do pray for Marianne and Maureen and their continued healing, and thank You, God, for the progress they have made so far. But we also know, Lord, that we have a lot of different requests for people that need a special touch from You. We want to pray for Pastor Tim this morning at the Lily of the Valley Church of the Nazarene, Father, where I know Rick has been ministering. And we know that this pastor has had to step aside because of heart problems and things like that. Oh, God, we pray that the doctors would give him the right advice, would help him to find the right balance of medication, and that You would restore his health so that he can continue his ministry, his call, Father, and his that You have placed in his life. We thank You, God, for him, and pray that You would continue to help him to do the will of God in his life. Among our own church family, Father, we have so many different needs. We continue to pray for Carol Schaefer, who I know is bereaving the loss of Fred, and so is the entire Schaefer family. We thank You for Carol and for her testimony, and we pray that You would continue to strengthen her in these days. We pray for Janice Chick this morning, that Joanna has mentioned, and just pray, Father, that You would help her with this eye problem and just the healing that needs to be happening there. And we continue to pray for Sue, and we continue to pray for Kathy Bouchard, Father, and the healing that they need, Father. We continue to pray this morning, Father, for the Ukraine family that's living with Ted and Sheila, and we thank You, God, for the witness that Ted and Sheila are providing to them. As we pray for them, we pray for Joy, Father. We know needs a touch from You, God. We thank You for our young sister in the Lord, and pray that You would just help her, Father, in life to know the peace and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, God, in a special way that would help her to continue to go forward in life. We thank You for our friends at Essex Park this morning, Father. We thank You, God, for these adults who are watching us this morning online, and we pray that each one of their individual needs as they are praying to You this morning, God, would be met, that they would know the power of Your Spirit, God, and we just thank You, God, for the good things that are happening there. We do continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in New Hampshire. We thank You for the Journey Church and pray in their pastoral search, God, that Your will would be done. And we do pray this morning for the Haverhill Church as well, as Pastor Gene has gone there this morning to preach, and they are anticipating their new pastor coming in 2 weeks. And so we just pray that this next chapter of their mission would continue to go forward. We do continue to pray for our missionaries around the world. We thank You, God, that the Church of the Nazarene has a bunch of sent people to go out and proclaim the gospel of Christ. And we are privileged to be a part of that work. We just pray that You would continue to help our missionaries and our pastors around the globe. I do pray this morning for my sister Della. She comes in a few minutes to open Your word up to us, God, and pray that You anoint her and give her the strength and the power to preach Your word with authority and boldness this morning, that we might know that the Holy Spirit has challenged each one of us to a new level and depth of our walk with you, God. And we just thank you, God, for what you're going to do in the message this morning. We do continue to pray for the direction of our church and the days that lie ahead. In many senses, we are kind of a church in transition right now as well. So we pray that you would help us, God, to know your will and to be able to really move forward, Lord, and make a difference in this community. We do continue to pray for our nation, and thank you, God, for our nation's leaders, for our president, for our congresspeople, for our court leaders, Father, and pray that our nation's leaders would be the type of leaders that would lead in righteousness, Father, and would walk that way and would really seek your voice out. We pray for the crazy international situation we are seeing going on in Europe right now between the continued war in Ukraine and this uprising that happened in Russia. Oh, God, more, may the peace of the Holy Spirit prevail in this world that belongs to you. And we pray, Father, that peace would really just become the norm. We know that people's lives are just filled with strife and with anger, and we pray that your Spirit would come and calm all of them. And so now, Father, we just pray for the balance of this service, Father. We pray that that we would be able to truly just focus on you and your word. We pray, Father, that you continue to help us as we hear your word read in just a moment. And we pray, Father, that in all of these things that we would continue to bless your name for who you are in our lives and in the life of this church. And we'll be careful to give you all of the honor and all of the praise, for we do pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen.
Good morning. Scripture this morning starts with Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. My children, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. And then we're going over to Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
So this morning, Pastor Gene mentioned that Adele wanted to do a testimony, and I'm not sure that I see him present right now. So, okay. I just wanted to make sure that that opportunity was offered. Maybe another day, something may have came up. Good morning. Say it again. Oh, yes, yes, yes. There is Children's Church available this morning if anybody would like to go. Who's teaching, April? You? So April, back here, anybody want to go? She is ready to go. Do you, anybody? We're good? I guess, okay. you get to stay and listen to me instead. Good morning. My name is Pastor Della, and I will be preaching on mercy this morning. I first would love to welcome all of you here in the sanctuary. I also want to welcome everybody that's online, and a very special welcome to Essex Park, who is watching with Laurie and Mary Beth over there. So I hope you all can hear me clearly and all goes well. So we are looking at the Beatitudes, right? And we're looking at, blessed be the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, Matthew 5:7. I find it ironic that I'd be the person up here preaching on mercy. And some of you have known me for a very long time, and some of you are just getting to know me. I am going to say I have not always been the most merciful person. And many of you have heard in the past, I've told you that if you hurt me, I just cut you out and dismiss you, and I move on. If you hurt one of the people I love and care for, bars none. Like, that's a whole different story. In fact, Pastor Gene and I were talking this week about how unmerciful I could be when it came to people who hurt the innocent. I had a real struggle with that. I still struggle with that. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell you that I have to hand that over to God on the regular. God has done amazing work. I definitely see things in a different light. I definitely am much more merciful, but it is not by my power that I do that. As a young girl, I was taught to be strong. Right? That mercy was not part of that definition. And as a young adult, being in the United States Navy, I also learned how to be strong. Again, mercy, not part of that definition. And I worked for many years, 25 plus years, as a physical therapist, and I was trained to have compassion and the gift of empowerment, but definitely not mercy. How many people here have done physical therapy? How many people think that their therapist was merciful? Yeah, I'm going to tell you, most of my total knee patients did not see me as merciful. And also, that went across the board, because you know what? There was a goal to be met. These folks had somewhere they wanted to be, and they had something they wanted to accomplish, and it wasn't easy. So I'm going to kind of speak to one of my patients, and she was somebody that wanted to walk. She wanted to be able to walk around the skilled nursing facility by herself, but it was hard. It was really hard work to get up in the morning, get dressed, do what she needed to do. And I would show up, you know, then I was young and vibrant, still young and vibrant, but not as much. But I would show up and I'd be like, ready, let's go. Let's go do some exercises. Let's get walking. And these folks would look at me like, really? You know, are you kidding me? And I'd go, listen, you have a goal. I'm going to help you obtain it. And they're like, yeah, you know, you could have a little mercy. And I'd be like, yeah, when you're 100, I'll show you mercy. Well, this one woman that comes to mind is every single time I'd go see her, she'd be like, this is hard. I don't want to do this. And I'd be like, do you want to walk? Yes. Okay. So I would have to push a little bit to get her to get moving, you know, and then she would, you know, she would go and she'd get doing it and she'd like it and she'd enjoy it. There was a day that I came and she was not feeling so great. And she's like, honey, I don't really think I can do this today. And I knew she really couldn't do it that day. So to her amazement, I said, you're closer to 100 than not, because she was 99. And she was very pleased. We sat, we talked for a while, and I left her to rest. What changed between those times, those interactions, right? Knowing that she had a goal and she wanted to obtain something, I could help to encourage her and push her on that day that it was beneficial. But on a day that she wasn't physically up to it, maybe even spiritually or mentally, sometimes some days are just hard, knowing and understanding that that was not going to be beneficial to her. There's a difference, right? But we have to understand what's going to do good and what's not going to do good. So that's why in Proverbs 2, it talks about understanding and wisdom, right? And we're not talking about our understanding and wisdom, right? If we try to handle these things on our own, yeah, I can tell you right now, I'm not that girl, right? If I don't hand it over to God, it's very hard for me to see someone be hurt and not react to that. So this, I would recommend, if we're talking about mercy today, in all situations, you go before God with it. Because this world, there are so many people walking on the dark side. There are so many people in this world hurting each other. And a lot of those people are innocent. Why? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But like I told you, I struggle with that. That's a very difficult thing for me. And I do go to God with it on a regular. And I say to you, do the same. In the morning when you wake up, you want to be merciful and you want to walk out there, you need to bring it to God because it's really difficult. So I think about right now, what's been really, really heavy on my heart is families and parents living in a life of addiction. Their decisions end up hurting the people they love the most. Many who are very innocent. My mom, for example, I have no doubt that she loved me and my dad and my siblings, but she struggled with mental illness for years. I don't know what caused her issues. I don't even know what it would be labeled today. I do know that she self-medicated and it led her down the path of alcoholism. I'm sure that she did not want to travel that path or hurt anyone along the way. That woman had the most gentle heart, and she was one of the sweetest people you would have ever met. Alcoholics and addicts do not grow up planning on becoming addicted. It is in their innocence and lack of understanding that they search for fun and excitement, maybe a way out of pain. At some point, their brains become hijacked by that substance. Right? So my mother, she lost the things that were most precious to her over the years. It has taken years for me to come to a place where not only do I forgive her, but I have learned to have mercy on people that are like her, and to be compassionate and be loving. Again, that's of God. That is not of me. I realized that she was not born that way. I also know God loved her and knew her name. I know that she reached for God's love and she struggled until the day she died. I pray that she found redemption. I pray to see her on the other side of heaven someday. What changed? Understanding and knowledge. I no longer look at her with those hurt child eyes. With decreased knowledge. I do not no longer look towards her with the angry teenage eyes, with decreased understanding, or as a mother with my own children, with decreased mercy. God helped me to see her with his heart and his eyes. And after many years of prayer and searching for understanding and knowledge, I can truly say that I forgive and have mercy today. Knowing how much she loved me and my family, I understand that she couldn't find her way out of the darkness. I also know that during that time, they did not know what they know today. They have made tremendous changes in mental illness and addiction today. I praise God for places like Bay State Recovery, Recovery Centers of America, Barry's House, and all of the other programs that are out there are amazing, and they're doing great work in helping people and educating people like me who didn't understand. I had a wall up, and I did not understand, and I would not listen to you if you tried. But it was through a process that I learned and got knowledge. And then now I'm more understanding to that world and that. So when you pray, I ask that you put on your prayer list these recovery programs, because we have a whole world out there struggling right now, either with mental illness or addiction and so many other things. So I ask that you pray for those folks as you go, you know, you go through your morning devotions, or, you know, if it comes to your mind or my face comes to you, you go, oh yeah, Della said. Please do. Please pray. So I want us to take a minute. Jesus shows us a perfect example of mercy in this video we're going to show right now.
Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. For whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek,
Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? What sayest thou?
He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?
Any of us sinless? Any of us have the right to throw that stone? I dare say no. Mercy is showing compassion and forgiveness towards someone whom it is within our power to punish or harm. Is that what God calls us to do? I don't think so. The biblical definition is forgiveness or withholding punishment. For example, God, the Father, shows mercy on us when he sacrificed his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. And if the Lord gives us that gift, do we not offer that to everybody else? How dare we not, right? We're willing to receive that gift. We need to go out in that world and give that to the world too, and be the example that Jesus is. It doesn't mean we want people to sin. It doesn't mean that we just overlook it. But we're called to love and not to judge. We're called to be kind. This world is hurting. We need to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Mercy is not easy, right? Because it relinquishes control, right? We could, you know, be that person that says, okay, you did X, Y, Z, and now I'm going to make you pay for that. That looks pretty ugly to me. But when we relinquish control, we allow for another person to grow and to learn, right? I mean, do I want to control what my daughter does? Yeah. Do I know that she's 18 years old and going off to college and going to make mistakes? Is that hard? Yeah. When she makes a mistake, I hope that she knows she can call me. I hope that she knows that I love her endlessly, no matter what, and that I will be there for her. Mercy, it's in the business of helping others to succeed, right? If we look at it like that, we're here to help. Mercy clears the way for others so that they can walk on an even path. No matter how halted their steps and no matter how injured their souls, that again is not easy. The only way we can do that is to turn to the Lord and ask him to teach us, to give us understanding, give us knowledge, so that we can live and offer that life of mercy, right, that God so graciously gives to us. We need to turn our ears to wisdom and supply our hearts to understanding. We go around assuming a lot of things. We go around projecting our belief systems, our thoughts, our biases, right? We need to be very careful about that because this world is very diverse. And we need to really learn about different people, different ways, different churches, you know, and not make assumptions about anything. If you ask God for wisdom and understanding, then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guide you. Proverbs 2, 9 through 11. Mercy fuels compassion. It provides promising of light in a very darkened world. It is kindness. It was forward forgiveness and empathy. Mercy chooses not to be offended and shows compassion and sees a hurting heart behind the hurtful words and actions of people. Again, not easy. God's mercy is reflected on the cross of Christ, a direct reflection of his love for us. Blessed be the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. we receive mercy. We are called to show mercy to others. There's no in-between. That's exactly what it looks like. Even those who society says they should be considered unlovable, right? We don't get to pick and choose, I like that person does this, I don't believe in that, I believe in this. We don't get to do that. We are called to be merciful to everybody and to love everybody. So I left some time because I thought we had a testimony today. We don't. So we're going to finish there and we're going to bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, I thank you. I praise you for the work you have done in me and each person here who has a merciful heart. We know, Lord, that that walk is a day-by-day situation. We know it's a situation that we have to bring to you, that maybe some are harder than others for us than another. We know, Lord, that you provide wisdom and understanding. We know, Lord, that you are the way. You give us so many examples in the scriptures. You teach us, Lord. We just have to seek that knowledge within scripture and prayer and spending time with you. This world is a darkened world, and it is really hard some days to be merciful. But we are called to nothing less. We ask, Lord, that you please help us as we go into this world to be merciful and loving and kind and compassionate to everybody, not just the ones we like or don't like or agree with or don't agree with. Lord, help us to have your heart and your eyes in every situation. We praise you, Lord, for your example. We praise you, Lord, for how you love us and you've called us to do this. So, Lord, just give us the skills and help us to step forward and be the light in this darkened world as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, come on. There you go.
Good morning, everybody. I think today's video kind of was my story when I first became a Christian. I was, you know, raised in the Catholic Church, but it was with non-practicing parents. And I was searching. I went to a lot of different churches. I still feel like I'm searching. So when I saw that video, I felt like that woman. Way back when, at the very beginning of my Christian walk and right after I was saved, I was in this church. I wasn't a member at that point. And a friend of mine shared with the pastor that I was pregnant and I, of course, wasn't married. I had already asked God for forgiveness well before the pastor was told about this. This particular friend had asked me to do her Bible study class, and evidently she felt it was important to let the pastor know a little bit about me. And I went into his office. It was a meeting, you know, he said, he showed me verses in the Bible. He said, it's your duty now to stand in front of the whole congregation and tell them that you're a fornicator. I did what I was told. I always did what I was told as a little girl. And I did that. And then I stood there, like I'm looking out at all of you. And I'm like, none of these people know who I am. Now they know my whole story. So I felt like that woman today. I don't know why, like I said, I had that forgiveness from God already, because he and I talked about it, you know. So I just wanted to share that. that God loves us no matter where we are, no matter what we are. So I just want to just say that I love God and God loves me.
I just want to say how awesome it is that you, my dear, just got to come up here voluntarily, yourself, and stand here and witness to us, and we thank you for that. And thank you that we're a safe place for you to do that. Oops, sorry.
Good morning, everyone. In a moment, we're going to take up this morning's tithes and offerings. The author of the book of Proverbs, King Solomon, was one of the most honored men ever to walk this earth. The Lord granted him superior wisdom and knowledge, and from that came sincere honor and respect from all who heard of him. So Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3:9-10, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So we see here that giving to the Lord is an act of honor. It is a way of thanking God for all that he has provided in our lives. He supplies all our needs by his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus, and the least we can do is honor him with the first fruits of our increase. First fruits is a hard word to say, first fruits. And I was thinking about that because I don't have barns that I can fill with stock, and I don't have vats, but I do have an apartment, and I have a Costco membership. And that's almost the same thing. And I don't I don't have vats, but I have a cast iron Dutch oven that was given to me for Christmas, and it's red and it's awesome, and I call it Big Red, so I kind of have a vat. So that's not the end of the verse. The Lord says your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine and maybe air conditioning for our church, you know, just a thought. So that is an amazing thing. That's kind of awesome. So let's honor God this morning and give to his kingdom. So if the ushers could please come forward.